the tax changes that Bill Shorten took to the election 7 years ago saw him defeated by Scott Morrison at the ballot box. Last night, the Treasurer announced changes to the CGT and negative gearing, breaking the government's promise at the 2025 election not to touch investment property taxes. Bill Shorten is a former Labor opposition leader and now Vice-Chancellor of the University of Canberra. I spoke to him earlier. Bill Shorten, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning. Good to talk to you, Sally.
Do you feel vindicated?
Yeah, I do, actually.
In what way?
I shouldn't use the I word, but in 2016 and 2019, we took tax reforms to the electorate, and I think that we were probably ahead of our time. And I do think this is important for the nation, so it actually isn't really about me or Labor. It's about how do we make sure that the housing sector is not a distortion of the tax sector, and that first home buyers, when they go and bid on houses, are not competing with tax-funded investors.
What's different now that gives you confidence that Labor can get these changes in place?
Well, one, they're in government. That's a prerequisite. But two, there's been a pretty big demographic and attitudinal shift. In 2019, half the electoral roll were baby boomers or older. Now that's probably around 30% of the voting roll. So there's been a demographic shift. But I think more than that, really from Gen X down, a lot more Australians are renting because they're locked out of the housing market. And that's a big issue. I mean, in Sydney, what, 40% of people are renters? In Melbourne, nearly that. And the Brisbane and Perth property markets are higher priced than Melbourne. So the trajectory is unfavourable for renters.
How does Labor sell this to the public when it is clearly a broken promise from the last election?
Oh, the last thing the current government needs is an ex-leader saying, do this, do that. But I do believe that the principles of the changes are fair. This is very like our 2016 and 2019 policies in terms of capital gains tax, in terms of negative gearing, in terms of trusts. And I think the proposition is it's a long-term reform. It's not a quick sort of change. Anyone who's currently negatively geared would be able to earn income under the same tax laws. So under the old laws that they initially invested under. So it's not unfair. It's a slow ramp in. The trusts, well, this is really creating a tax rate of the company tax rate, essentially. So the changes are quite fair, and they're not sudden or abrupt. And I think that's, people have got to ask, what's the national interest as opposed to my own self-interest? And people's self-interest is still served. I mean, property's still going to be a good investment this morning as it was last night before the budget. It's just curing a distortion in negative gearing where if you have enough money, you can get more money from the taxpayer to compete against people who don't own their first home. And I think the great Australian dream of owning a home is a worthy one and needs to be, that flame needs to be kept alive, not smothered under a tax system.
The changes that were announced last night in the budget, do they go far enough in your view?
I think they're good changes. To be honest, they were the policy. If we'd won in 2016 or 2019, it's pretty much what I would have done. So I'm not going to. Yeah, I think they're fine. They're modest. They're not massive. But it does send a message that, I mean, the core of this whole story is a simple proposition. Why should people who are pay-as-you-go tax income payers pay higher rates of pay than people who've just got bundles of property and assets? Why is it that a plumber, a nurse, a journalist, a lawyer, a teacher, a doctor pay higher rates of tax when they go to work every day than someone who just sits on a pile of assets and just sells them down the track and gets taxpayer support in between?
Was it the right decision, in your view, for Labor to drop the negative gearing and capital gains tax policies after the 19 election?
Well, that was the decision of the leadership. I accepted at the time that we'd tried a certain approach. It hadn't been successful. And, of course, you've got to do this. You can only make change from government, not from opposition. So I'm not going to second-guess the path by which we've got here. I feel that the policies we put forward in 2016 and 19 were pretty good. There's nothing here about franking credits being done. That's been dropped. I accept that. Listen, we've got here, and I think it's a good thing, and I think the sun's come up this morning, although behind the clouds in Canberra. Chickens are still laying eggs, and property will still be a good bet in Australia, and what we will, though, have is a greater sliver of fairness for first home buyers.
I'm speaking with former Labor leader Bill Shorten. You were the minister for the NDIS, which will see $184 billion in funding stripped out over a decade. Do you think that is achievable?
Well, I haven't looked at all the fine numbers of the current budget night on the NDIS, but the trajectory of growth when Labor came to power in 2022, the scheme has grown by 22%. That was too much. Just too much. It's a great scheme changing lives, but the growth rate was too high. I know in the first term we got growth down from 22% to 9%, but that was never going to be the destination. It still had to be reduced. So I hope that the scheme reforms can work as promised. I mean, at the core of the NDIS, it's changing lives for the better, but it was never meant to be the only sort of lifeboat in the ocean. And so what I think the government's announced last night in my initial glance through is they're saying that they want to create more limited services outside the NDIS for people who don't need the full NDIS orchestra of services. So long as there's support for people with disability, that's what matters. Whether or not it comes from an NDIS package or through some other services, depending on your needs, for me, it's all about the person with disability and what are their needs. And I think clamping down on the rorts, we started that in the first term. There's people now in jail because of our clampdown, and the government's continuing that work. And to be honest, with the going after the rorts and registering providers, that should have happened 15 years ago. It's happening. It started last term and it's now continuing in this budget, which is good.
Bill Shorten, thank you for joining me this morning.
Yeah, lovely. Have a lovely day.